This is a download from RTE Lyric FM. To find out more, go to rte.ie/lyricfm.
One of the consolations voiced recently about news that American tech companies give their country's secret police complete access to every moment of our online lives is that it must be an awful lot of data, you'd think. Too much to sift through, isn't it? But just around the corner, maybe, is a whole new type of computing, quantum computing, using quantum bits instead of common or garden bits. It promises to do some tasks almost infinitely faster than present-day computers. And it's not quite science fiction either, since Google have ordered up a quantum computer, and they're only following the likes of Lockheed Martin into shopping at the Canadian company D-Wave, a quantum computing pioneer. I asked our regular tech correspondent Aisling Kelleher, seated at her desk in Carnegie Mellon University, if she'd walk me from out of my depths back inland. One of the principles of this is that it uses quantum uncertainty to somehow perform computation, and I just find that completely impossible to understand, because surely the uncertainty element of quantum uncertainty should mean that computation is a complete no-no.
Well, it's quite mind-bending in many ways, because you think of a typical computer, and we understand it in this very kind of rigorous way as being the operation of bits, these binary bits that are either ones or zeros. It couldn't be more straightforward with that. With quantum computing and with qubits, we have three states, really. It could be a one, it could be a zero, or it could be what's called a quantum superposition, which means it could be anything really else that's going on. So it opens up this space of, well, what is going on? Like, how do we even quantum computers work? And that is where the big kind of the, how have we leapt from the science fiction of, well, that would be a wonderful idea, to, well, how do they work in reality when it is the role of the observer? When the observer comes in and measures something, that is when we get this decision about whether or not it is a one or a zero or some other form of position. So the quantum computing really just opens up this possibility of doing everything extraordinarily fast and being able to compute and solve very particular problems in a really, really fast amount of time. You take a couple of really, really hard problems that we might understand. So there's a category of problems, mathematical problems, or what they could be understood as just problems in general, that are called NP-hard. So these are the types of problems that quantum computers to date have been tested on. So NP-hard problems are ones that have many variables. One example would be the traveling salesman. So how does the traveling salesman get to his 10 customers in the shortest way possible? So a quantum computer solves this by looking at energy states at the atomic level. So in essence, what it can do, a quantum computer can look at many, many, many different states and variables all at the same time, whereas a typical computer that you might have at home does it in a serial fashion. It kind of works things out one after the other after the other. So that's a kind of a simple layman's way of thinking about the quantum computing can do something in a flash.
So is this like chess computers, where there are a certain number of things that can happen and it's capable of working out these number of things that can happen very quickly?
I mean, I think you could think of it like that, but chess computers to date have been on kind of our standard computers, and they're working within this very particular domain. I mean, first develop a supercomputer to try and play chess. That isn't necessarily the ultimate goal of very, very high computation, because that's a fairly narrow domain set of problems that it's trying to solve, even though chess has a very large range of potentials and opportunities. The question becomes, can a quantum computer, and this is like the large, grandiose goal, does it bring us towards the singularity? Will a quantum computer be able to deal with variables and problems of such complexity that it would rival something that the human mind can do? So, you know, we read in these speculative articles, could a quantum computer create a piece of art, for example, that would be comparable to that a human could produce?
You mentioned the singularity there, and we should talk a little bit about that. But what I often think is suggested by when you mention the singularity in terms of quantum computing is that there is something emergent from the activity of the computer, that it's not simple computation, but that computation at a degree of complexity, there is some sort of emergent phenomena. And that can't possibly be what Google is buying into here, is it?
I think we're very far away from the idea that Google have bought a, I can't do that, Dave, sentient being that is going to suddenly recommending very different types of things to you because it thinks you should be a better person. I think we're very, very far away from the idea of a quantum computer being able to do anything as sophisticated as that. Right now, it's really What we're seeing is that for a certain type of problem, a quantum computer seems like it will have great potential for that, like in the area of encryption and decryption, or for looking at complex problems, possibly to do with climate change, which is one of the ideas that Google has kind of floated around, that that's something they might be looking at. Their interest in the quantum computer is within the area of machine learning. Okay, how can we very quickly detect patterns in information and learn from them, which is pretty much, you know, what your recommendation systems, your personalized search, that's what they're doing. They're very, very interested in, like, can they harness the power of this computer, or the potential power of this computer, to solve those problems in a much faster and more efficient way. You know, the quantum computer satisfies the kind of the problem that we know we'll come up against in the future, that chips, unless they can be one atom in width, there is a limit to how small they can be and how fast they can be, because they have issues with, like, how time travels and how light travels. So the quantum computer kind of addresses these speed and size problems that we're slowly getting to in chip manufacturing. But I don't think the chip manufacturers have too much to worry about just yet, because of the extraordinary expense and the cooling requirements. And right now, the specificity of what a quantum computing to do. It's not like you're going to be sitting down editing stuff in Final Cut Pro or surfing the web on your quantum computer. They're not able to do that right now.
So even if you had Google's war chest, you might not put your billions of dollars in that direction.
I think I'd hold off a little bit on that right now. I mean, I think Google are very smart. They're at the forefront of all these things. And I think we will see when they get very, very smart people that are very, very focused working on these problems, whether or not they can gradually scale up from the narrow type of problems that a quantum computer is well-versed to deal with, to the broader social problems that we're looking at. If you're trying to really look at the true wicked problems of today, whether they be social justice or climate change or sustainability, I think we're quite a ways before a quantum computer can solve that, whereas we can get quite far right now with your typical desktop computer or your iPad, even in what we can try and achieve as with our human kind of input in it as well.
I was talking to Aisling Kelleher, and you can hear a quantum version of that interview with extra uncertainty at culturefilepod.tumblr.com.
Thanks for downloading from RTE Lyric FM. To find out more, go to rte.ie/lyricfm.